according to the Adirondack Council, it's been more than three decades since a comprehensive survey of the lakes in the Adirondacks was done. But state lawmakers and Governor Kathy Hochul made an initial commitment in the state budget this year to start a new review. To discuss the need for a new analysis and take us back in time to the study from the 1980s that gauged the impact of acid rain in the area, we're joined by Charles Driscoll, a Syracuse University professor of environmental systems who helped interpret the last survey and continues to study the lakes in the region. Welcome to the show, Professor.
Glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, the state budget includes $500,000 for the Survey of Climate Change and Adirondack Lake Ecosystems, which goes by the handy acronym of SCALE. Can you put that into English that a 100-level class at Syracuse University might understand?
So back in the 80s, there was a lot of concern about acid rain in the Adirondacks. And there was a survey that was done in the eastern U.S. by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and they found relatively low numbers of acid-impacted lakes in the Adirondacks. And it was concerned that that was not representative of the entire Adirondack region because of the way they designed the study. So there was an initiation of a study that was to try to be more comprehensive. And in that study, we surveyed about half of the lakes in the Adirondacks, and it provided great information about the impacts of acid rain and fisheries. It was really focusing on questions about how the Adirondacks were impacted by acid rain. So as you said, now we are several decades past that. Acid rain has been greatly reduced. But there are other threats to the Adirondacks. The Adirondacks is the largest park in the lower 48 states. It's a great resource for the state. And there's a lot of concern about impacts of climate change and invasives and other stresses and how they're recovering from acid rain. So the idea is to really try to do a resurvey and try to get another snapshot on what is the status of the health of Adirondack lakes.
Is it fair to describe this investment in the budget as a down payment? Because I've read that a complete survey could cost $6 million.
Yeah, so I think it is. So it's great that the legislature and the state and various stakeholder groups recognize that this is an important undertaking. And so the idea would be this would really start the process. And so what we need to do is originally we surveyed about 1,400 lakes. We probably don't need to study that many today. We know a lot more today than we did back then. We also have tools that allow for remote sensing so that we can look through satellite imagery at the lakes. So this is this first down payment, as you said, would allow us to decide on what lakes do we have to actually visit. So look at where we are, what were the characteristics of those lakes back in the 80s, and then to acquire and maybe test field equipment that we would use as part of the survey. So it's sort of a first step in the process.
Is there any reason to be concerned that if you get the ball rolling with a $500,000 investment and no additional funds are ever realized, that the project will essentially be a waste? I guess you might be able to go out in the field, but then you don't have the money to interpret the results, or you might be able to get something going, but you can't finish it. Is that something that you're concerned about at all? Or is the $500,000 something that you see as a really reliable sign of future investments to come?
I think the $500,000 is a great opportunity. It would be disappointing if we weren't able to fully implement the project, but I think we would learn a lot from looking at the old data in the context of what we know now. There are lots of sort of ongoing measurements in a small subset of lakes in the Adirondacks, nowhere near 1,400, but on the order of 50 lakes that have been routinely studied over the last 30, 40 years. And so we know quite a bit now, and I think we could, I think do some very useful information understanding climate impacts, and look at the application of new technologies that weren't available in the 80s during the survey. So I think we will get a lot out of the money. I think it won't be wasted. It will be very effectively spent, but I think it would be useful either through additional funds from the legislature or from other sources. I'm confident that that we'll be able to get the funds eventually and do the survey. I think the Adirondacks is a valuable resource for New York State, and I think having this information about climate impacts will help in terms of management decisions going forward. So I think a lot of people are interested in this.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Charles Driscoll, a Syracuse University professor of environmental systems. And earlier you talked about the way that this new review might differ in terms of the process from what was done in the 80s, citing, for example, satellite imagery. How was information collected 30, 40 years ago when you wanted to review this issue? Are people, I don't know, on their hands and knees in shallow water and scooping things up? Are they grabbing dirt? What did it consist of back then?
Yeah, it was fairly labor intensive. So each of the lakes was visited twice over a period of time from 84 to 87. And it was done strategically to try to focus on lakes that are part of state lands, but there were also lakes that were on private lands that were surveyed. So you would go out in the field, either you would walk to the site or you could drive to the site in some cases, or many of the lakes were sampled by helicopter. And so they would be sampling that would be done in the midpoint of the lake, and sampling would be collected in the upper waters and in the lower waters of the lake to look at the changes in the water quality with depth. Nets would be deployed, and fish would be surveyed, and looking at the different species of fish and the quantity of fish. And then ultimately, as you said, there was a big effort to try to pull this all together and interpret it and develop sort of classes of lakes that were sensitive to acid rain. And so it was very, very labor intensive, and it took a long time. I mean, 1,400 lakes is a lot of lakes. That's a lot of data. But in the end, I think it was a very useful exercise.
Well, you were involved with the interpretation of the process in that last go around. I'm curious how the advances in computer technology are going to change the way the interpretation of findings will occur now as opposed to then. I assume computers do play a big role in this.
Yes. So I think that's something that we could start out with the initial data mining activities that are planned with the initial budget. So now there are interesting computative techniques, machine learning techniques that can be used to look at relationships across lakes that we can do much more effectively than we did back in the 80s. We've also done a lot of work in the intervening years in terms of applying models and looking at computer models and making projections of lakes for the recovery from acid rain, as well as impacts of climate change. We can use those models to try to project out what types of lakes would change in certain ways, what would the lakes be most sensitive to climate change. So there are a lot of computational tools that we can take advantage of, and that's planned for the first stage to try to get as much out of a resurvey as possible.
Are you heading into this process with an expectation that you're just going to be able to confirm theories that you might already have about what's gone on since the last survey? Or is this kind of a new chapter that's being written? You don't really know what you're going to find.
Well, I think we have ideas. We have expectations. As I mentioned, we have been doing some limited measurements over time for different types of lakes. we're seeing that Adirondack lakes are changing and responding to the effects of climate change. And in fact, the Adirondacks appears to be one of the most sensitive areas in terms of climate change impacts. And we have ideas on how those are impacting fisheries, but they're only with a handful of lakes. And we would like to take these ideas and see how well they apply to the broader region. So if we take the 80 survey in a model as a model, we had a similar design. We had some lakes that we had been sampling intensively, but when we broadened that out across the whole region, we saw that there were some similarities, but there were some differences. And so I mean, when you go out and you make measurements, you're always surprised. You know, it never goes exactly according to plan. You always learn new things. And I'm just anticipating that that's going to be the case here. But, you know, we have ideas on in terms of what would be the most sensitive lakes and how they are changing and the rate of changing. But we'll see what we find out.
Do you feel like local, state, and federal policymakers were responsive to your findings the last go around? Because when we think about the purpose of this, it's to inform future decisions. So maybe that past experience can be a good indicator of what to expect from how your latest results will be utilized. So were the findings the rationale for policy decisions 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the timing was actually terrific. So as part of the process in the 80s during the Reagan administration, there was a 10-year federal program to collect data on the impacts of acid rain. And that, you know, basically culminated in the early 1990s in the George H.W. Bush administration on new amendments to the Clean Air Act. And they were largely driven by controlling impacts of acid rain. And, you know, you fast forward now several decades later, and acid rain is greatly reduced. The lakes have changed. We're interested in documenting the extent of those changes. But I think it was very, very effective because the Adirondacks was arguably the most highly impacted area in terms of acid rain. And we had a very clear documentation of the extent of that impacts. And they were part of the national story. They were really a headline in a national story. So I think it was very effectively used. We gained a lot of good scientific information. We got a lot of good information to inform management decisions. And I'm envisioning something similar in terms of climate change. There are lots of dimensions of climate change that are important in terms of using the resources in the Adirondacks and other lakes in New York State. So I'm envisioning a similar model here.
And for this latest go around, do you plan on being out in the field with the collection of data, or are you going to be behind the scenes focusing on interpretation again?
I love going in the field, doing field work. It's part of what I do. So I'm hoping that I'll be allowed to go out there and participate at least to a limited extent, but I'm also interested in looking at the data and learning from this exercise. So I'm hoping I can do a little bit of both.
Well, we've been speaking with Charles Driscoll. He's a Syracuse University professor of environmental systems. Professor Driscoll, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.